Boy, looking forward to a lot of fun this week. A lot going on. Texas at the Big 12 tournament in baseball is the number one seed. We just had a good conversation with the manager, coach of the year in the Big 12. That would be David Pierce. Good stuff right there. Also looking forward to a fun baseball series down in Houston tonight. Dodgers-Astros. How about Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke for the series opener tonight? It's a national televised game on ESPN this evening. Former teammates. That'll be fun. Astros and Dodgers. Also this week, Buck, we've got the Colonial up in Fort Worth on the PGA Tour. And yes, Phil Mickelson is honoring his commitment. He will play after winning the PGA Championship this weekend. So that's fun this week, and also obviously it's Memorial Day weekend upcoming.
Yeah, man.
Weekend,
and I gotta find a barber. How about this? It's been a long time since the barber. I need to cut some of this facial hair and get it down because I like looking like Fred Sanford up in here. Because there's some patches in here and some really tight spots. And I'm trying to comb through it, almost breaking my wrist like Phil Mickelson. I mean,
just go buy some clippers, do it yourself.
No, my hands don't work like that anymore. I'll cut a patch out right now. I want it to be smooth. So
you know where they have those kind of clippers at good prices? You can go to the Marshall.
The Marshalls?
Marshalls.
What do they have, like a guard on it?
Yes, you just throw a guard on it. They if you go over to the section at the Marshalls, which is over by in the left corner, at least at the Marshalls I go to and have been in the South Park Meadows region of Austin. Yeah, over there in the corner, they got dude stuff.
I've never been in that.
They got
one
dude
before.
Stuff. They got dude stuff. They got like razors and colognes and socks.
I want somebody to throw a blade up underneath my neck too. You know what I'm saying? Let me sit back.
You want like a hot shave?
I haven't had one of those in years. I've always been doing that.
You want to go clean? I thought you just wanted to take some.
No. I want this to be trimmed up, kind of low, but I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I used to be able to do that.
You just put the guard on it, whichever flavor you want.
There will be different holes in different sections of my face now. I'm not 20 anymore. I'm 65.
That spider monkey that the lady was feeding hot Cheetos could use one of those clippers things. It's not hard.
No. Let me help you with this.
Zay, you know how to use the clippers.
Didn't I tell you my wife says you got two bathrooms to use? You can't use all three. Your dribble or whatever's going on up in here is not right. I'm 65. I can't mess around with my own beard now. So I need to get to a spot, put a slap of hot towel on me, and throw that blade up underneath that neck. You know what I mean?
Somebody said Skinny's Barbershop is your spot.
I need to go somewhere, Zay. Do I need to go east side? Is there an east side barber anymore?
I don't think you have to go all the way to east side. I feel like Austin in general has a few barbershops.
Okay, close at hand. What about in the Dirty Drip?
Ooh,
I never saw one in the Drip.
That you might have an issue there.
I did see one that was a little trailer just around the corner from my house. I'd walk up in there and I'd be going,
it's got to be a decent barbershop in Pound Town.
I don't know, man.
Pound Town.
I don't know. Those are called salons, aren't they?
Yeah, you don't want a salon.
What about the lady who does my nails and my feet?
I got to get back to the basic of this. That you have your fear of clippers use. I mean, it's the easiest thing to use in the world. You put a guard on it. You either plug it in or turn it on. And you just
let me help you.
It's got a guard on it, so it can't cut any lower than what you want it to cut.
You don't have this hair. You can mess around with your hair. I can't mess around and patch up this thing. No. And it's hard to get a comb through this now. I tried that. I took a shower, tried to stick a comb through the thing, stuck. I put four different combs all up in my face.
Lovie Smith.
Lovie's was clean. This one right now is just kind of hard and nappy.
What's the one? Is Corey Redding's barbershop still open? Red's downtown?
Is that still open? I don't even know.
Right next to Cover 3?
Jimmy, I'm not going all the way to Buda to get my face shaved. Skinny's. Somebody said Skinny's maybe.
Skinny's barbershop number two. This is Johnny G's in Buda.
Throw a hot towel up on there?
Yeah, that worked.
Say it had been a long time since you had a hot towel on your face. You do everything yourself now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I trim this thing that I've got. I bought a pair of clippers for $19 at the HEB in the male grooming section. $20. Cordless, completely chargeable.
Yeah, but you bought for your jewels and your family tools or whatever it is.
Jewels for your family. Well, you got to manscape yourself out there, people. You just can't be like a jungle down there.
No. What was is there still. Not messing with it.
Jewels.
Don't put any clippers
tools
down.
Jewels for your family. Jewels.
Don't put any clippers down
Musburger
in the
when you need
far
them.
Regions. No, thank you. Never
Gentleman's
have.
Den on
Never
Brody
will.
Has been mentioned. Gentleman's okay. Den. That might get you in trouble. Honey, where are you going? Gentleman's Den?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a barbershop. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah? What else is it?
Okay, I got to get that done. This is messy.
I could see going.
I'm looking like a little Gargamel, man. Stuff is sticking out all different sides.
All right, this is the Hitched Barber Shop in Dripping Springs, Fitzhugh and 12th. She's good.
Fitzhugh and Highway 12?
It's like right by your house.
That's two blocks from my house. I think that's that little trailer.
There you go. The Hitched, it's called. It says here, the Hitched Barber Shop
in Dripping Springs. I'm gonna go check it out.
All right, we go get Bucky clean shaven, at least cleaned up. Now, Isaiah Collier, before we get back into, I wanted you to hear Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka a little bit fired up. But let me ask you were a little bit fired up about the LeBron James thing and his unwillingness to take a side in this vaccination issue, which, of course, LeBron James, anything he does is going to be polarizing. And he's had some, you know, polarizing things, this thing. And, of course, it's the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. So there'll be a lot of that tribute today. You know, LeBron's been very, and many athletes have been rightfully outspoken about that and how that's gone in the last year. But LeBron unwilling in the wake of this tequila party issue that some thought he might have needed to be suspended under NBA protocols for attending a party, which is against the protocol, but saying he tested negative before going. Everybody there was either vaccinated or negative, so there was no risk. But his unwillingness, Zay, to take a side and say whether he's going to get vaccinated or is vaccinated or not.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying because obviously with, you know, how big of just, you know, person that he is, the fact that he's just being so nonchalant about it, like it's not a big deal. Come on, man. Like, it is a big deal. And I know what he's trying to say, you know, because Black Americans haven't been treated as fairly as others in history. But you're LeBron James, man. Like, you're bigger than that. You're better than that. And, again, I know what he's trying to say without saying it, but it's not. It's
well,
not good
and
at all.
Just to, my observation of that, he is such a big, you know, personality, and certainly within the Black community, that, you know, his silence on the matter exacerbates the problem. And, you know, we know the numbers would suggest, Buck, that the Black community has been impacted by COVID a lot more than really any other population in our country. And, you know, that's a problem if LeBron James. So, you know, that's going to bring some criticism to him, but we'll see if he does. Because he was really evasive, didn't want to talk about it, whether he's going to get vaccinated or is vaccinated in the wake of that party. And I saw where, you know, Stephen A. Smith called him out pretty good, too, for the very same thing. Other doctors in the industry, the medical industry, have come out saying, look, we need you on our side here because we're having a hard enough time getting that population to come get their vaccination.
That's just tough. I mean, it's just getting to the point of with wealth and great power comes still a lot of responsibility, and the responsibility is seemingly going kind of the wrong way. With, you know, I mean, there's others that do such a great job, and I don't know. He needs to have a better message, I believe, but that's him. Once again, I'm not going to tell a guy what to do, how to do it. You know, he still has some responsibilities.
Well, I mean, I also think if you don't want to, you have to have you're LeBron James. You have to have a reason why. You have to have a platform of here's why I'm not going to do it, and back that up. I don't think if you're LeBron,
or just don't do it and take the backlash that you're going to get.
You know, which is what he's doing at this point. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. He's going to tell the doctors, I don't trust this process. I don't trust what you're trying to do to me.
Yeah.
I just twisted my ankle. You're not going to help me, doc? Probably the same doctors that are trying to get him vaccinated. What, is he going to question them?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Interesting conversation. Also interesting is Brooks Koepka, or as you and our man Dave Pels are fond of calling him, Bruce Koepka.
Bruce.
Who was the runner-up at the PGA Championship last weekend. And was a little surly. Brooks is a surly guy anyhow. His knee hurt. He putted like crap all weekend, so he was bitter. So could I play this? This is what you got. If you haven't, this video's gone viral now, so maybe you've seen it. So here's what you got. You have the Golf Channel interviewing Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka standing at a microphone, you know, kind of in front of the clubhouse where the players walk past each other. And so Brooks is doing this interview. And what you'll hear is that behind him, players walk by. And one of the players who walks behind him is Bryson DeChambeau. And so let's play this audio, and then I'll run through the play-by-play of what happened. But this is funny. Here's Brooks Koepka, interview with the Golf Channel.
Ready? Golf course was asking a lot from you today, Brooks. What were you able to do well and put up that nice number?
Just ball struck my way around this place. Didn't putt well, but I don't think many guys are going to putt well with this wind. It's very tough. I don't know what other guys have said, or I just felt it difficult to read. You know, sometimes sometimes. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, hearing that.
All right, we're starting over. We're gonna enjoy that in the TV compound.
I honestly wouldn't even care.
All right, so Bryson DeChambeau walked by as Brooks was giving his interview and talking about putting and how difficult it was in the winds, and said something to which Brooks Koepka heard, which was, "Hey, nice putt." Or some have suggested that he said, "You also have to read the right line."
Oh no! He didn't go with that, did he?
That again, you can't hear audibly what Brooks says. What Bryson says, only Brooks knows. But there have been some sleuths who have audio, whatever, and heard him say something along the lines of, "You also have to," because he's talking about the wind, how tough it is to putt, and he says, "You also have to read the line right."
Mm-hmm.
To which you saw Brooks get disheveled and be like, "Oh,
bang, bang, bang at him."
Safe to say, Brooks and Bryson are not pals.
Yeah, okay. Bruce, you better be careful. That dude's gained some poundage lately.
Oh, I'd see that. I'd have a look at that. That'd be a good one. That'd be a good scrap right there, those two.
He's liable to throw down and kick you in that knee or grab that knee like everybody did, you know?
Look, these are highly competitive people. It's the pressure of a major. But, you know, Bryson DeChambeau's in a lot of circles not well-liked on the PGA Tour, and he's the scientist.
Well, Bruce is getting there.
I think Brooks, among the other players, is well-liked. Typically. Now, I mean, that's been, and look, he wasn't happy with his game this weekend. He wasn't happy with his knee getting bunched around and, you know, whatever. And he's going to be a surly guy. But within the player fraternity, Brooks is pretty well liked. He's got a lot of friends on the tour. I don't know if you'd say the same for Bryson. He's the scientist. He's the smartest guy in the room always. He always has a,
But he just seems to have changed.
Yeah, he
a
has.
Lot.
Well, that's. But is that phony? Is that real? Is
no,
that
just, I think it's real. I think he said, "I got to change my attitude playing this game." He doesn't throw a lot of tantrums anymore. He just goes about his business. He used to throw tantrums.
Oh, he did. But does that mean the players like him? That's interesting to me. The Bryson is not, you know, he's not well liked, and you could see it. I mean, even the host is laughing because he knows what just went down and how that's going to be a big story when they get back to the TV truck, that he and Bryson are feuding a little bit. But that's funny. Play one more time. Here's Brooks Koepka, and his train of thought is released. And the look on his face is he knows on television he wants to turn and, like, say something to Bryson DeChambeau, or he wants to whack him in the head. But he can't. He's in the middle of a TV interview.
Golf course was asking a lot from you today, Brooks. What were you able to do well and put up that nice number?
Just ball struck my way around this place. Didn't putt well, but I don't think many guys are going to putt well with this wind. It's very tough. I don't know what other guys have said. I just felt it difficult to read. You know, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, hearing that.
I think he may have dropped this.
Yeah, we're starting over.
Well, he said, "I lost my train of thought."
MF were there somehow,
well,
didn't he?
Hearing that blanking blank. You know, again, it's.
And there's Bryson. He's wearing spikes as he walks by.
Yeah, metal spikes. None of them wear metal spikes anymore. That's Bryson. But no, and Bryson was gone by the time Brooks turned around. But the initial reaction is Brooks wants to turn around and say something to him and say, "Hey, blank you, man." And he can't, and that's he tried to continue the interview, and it got derailed.
Golf fight.
Oh, I love it.
Nothing like
that'd
a good
be a decent
golf
one.
Fight,
there
man.
Wouldn't be many golf fights that you'd want to see, but Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka would be pretty good when those are two of the stronger.
Yeah, hit him right in the knee with that driver. He'd go right down. Down he goes.
And the spikes.
It's the damn spikes.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Because current players don't like the metal spikes because not many people wear them, right?
I don't know what that is. I thought
apparently
at one time that stuff
too.
Was banned from the PGA
it's
Tour.
Like
but
you're
now
sliding
it's
into people with your high spikes into your knees in baseball.
A lot of guys do it, but he's still doing it.
All right,
obviously.
We'll try to dig some more on that, but that was funny. And they'll tee off at the Colonial on Thursday. Phil Mickelson will play. And just, man.
I know if you showed up at your club with spikes and start walking on those greens, someone would say something like, "Sir."
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But at Onion Creek, no doubt. Ryan Crump would be out after me.
He would have a fit, you dragging your feet.
He's out after me all the time anyhow.
Yeah.
But, you know. But, no, Ryan's great. He's the best out there at Onion Creek. But, yeah, so Colonial tees off. And after our conversation with Dave Pels yesterday, if you missed that, we've got it on our website, hornfm.com. If you're a fan of golf, really intriguing 20-minute conversation.
Absolutely,
with the short game coach and really the coach, swing coach, at a lot of levels of Phil Mickelson. And, you know, first question I asked Phil, Dave, was, were you surprised by what you saw this weekend? He said, absolutely not. Dave said, this is what you saw this weekend. We've been working on for 3 years with Phil Mickelson. He's been working on his body, on his mental side, his focus, and his swing. And, you know, the exciting part for Phil is, you know, watching him this week and then 2 weeks from now at the U.S. Open, is this, as Dave predicted, he thinks this is the beginning of a run of great golf for Phil Mickelson this year and beyond at 50, almost 51 years old.
What am I going to find is interesting is this week, when he says the word pelts, believe me, the explanation is going to come out by the announcers like nobody's business, what that's all about. Because they gave us none on Sunday. I didn't, you know, if Romo was there, he would have had the breakdown. I'm going to tell you.
Is Romo going to be there?
Is Romo
Is
Romo playing?
You know, his buddy Will Zalatoris is playing. They play a lot of golf together. You know, Romo's had some exemptions before.
Yeah, give him another one where he can shoot. 78, 82.
Romo was a miracle.
We've always talked about eventually the great Vern Lundquist is going to retire. By the way, Vern had the great call of Phil Mickelson's hole out on the fifth hole out of that bunker.
Yeah,
that was his hole, and they did another tremendous job.
Yes, he did.
But at some point, Vern's going to, you know, Austin's own Vern Lundquist is going to retire.
I thought that was going to be this year. I thought was coming on that. Who's getting that spot?
Romo.
The word pelts would have been mentioned. Romo would have been all over that.
Yeah, he would have.
Yes, he would have.
Well, we need Romo.
What happened to Jim Nance? Why wasn't Jim Nance telling us what those whispers were about?
Yeah, because Dave told us that his son Eddie counted 18 times the word Pels was mentioned.
And no explanation.
Between Phil and his brother, Caddy, which is interesting because it's kind of a code word that they use when they're talking about the iron shots.
Yeah, I thought Jim Nance, he was going to explain it after about the fifth time. This is what they're talking about. He didn't know.
Didn't. And, of course, Dave lives here in Central Texas, out near you in Dripping Springs. And that was a great conversation. And we'll see. Does this begin a streak of great golf for Phil?
No.
He looked pretty good this weekend. No. That did not look fluky, what I saw. The ball striking, the deep drives, the short game is as good as. And the other thing
to win back-to-back majors?
Well, I don't know, but be in contention. Because Phil hadn't even been in contention.
Dude, that's right. He hadn't been in the top 10
in
years.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to win every tournament now. I'm saying,
right.
Is this about to be a run of Phil being in contention? And I'll tell you who wants it is golf, because there's not a star in golf right now. Jordan Spieth has not, you know, gotten it back. He's been close, but
about Bruce?
Who moves the needle? Right, but look, like, who's your star? I mean, Tiger's been the star. Phil and Tiger's rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like Jordan Spieth was going to be that guy, and he still can be. But who's the one that turns televisions on, that brings galleries, that gets people fired up? That's Phil Mickelson. And even though he's 50 years old, you saw it again this weekend. And if he could be in the mix here moving forward, that's going to be good for the entire game until Tiger gets healthy. And it was interesting that Tiger noted the inspiration to see Phil Mickelson. You know, Tiger's itching to get that thing rehabbed and get back playing golf, see if he can do it.
And that's, as you said, it was just like a piece of chalk getting smashed by a hammer. It wasn't just a break.
It was crushing, crushed bones.
Right.
How do you rebuild that? All right, we'll come back. We will continue these conversations, what Mac Brown had to say about the transfer portal and what issues he sees, or biggest issues he sees with it. We'll reset that conversation, B&E on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You know, there's a lot of good going on with these crowds are back. Fans are back. 100% capacity at Q2 Stadium has been announced for the Austin FC opener in June. It'll be a packed house tonight. Houston Astros are having their first full 100% attendance game tonight against the Dodgers. So there's good with that, right? It's great to have these crowds back. We saw it at the PGA Championship. Also, the downside, we've talked about the brawl in the stands between the Cardinals-White Sox game. Two ladies duking it out. You also, you know, we talked about Brooks Koepka being frustrated at the PGA Championship because of his knee and his putting was terrible, and Bryson DeChambeau was irritating.
Everybody irritates that dude.
Well, how about this? This is another viral video.
No!
Because I remember hearing this throughout the, like, listening on Sunday, watching throughout, I kept hearing the same guy. And I was thinking, that's got to be irritating as hell to Brooks Koepka. Can we hear this? Give me a little of this audio.
I think you should be able to clear that, right? All right, Brooksy.
So, hey, Brooksy. Hey, come on, Brooksy. The guy kept calling him, and then on that piece of video, Brooks turned around and said, "Who keeps calling me Brooksy?
Needs to get out of
Needs
here.
Needs to get out of here."
God, now he's trying to control the gallery.
Well, I'm agreement on with him on that. I think there needs to be like a gallery bouncer.
Really?
Oh, the who you, in the hole guy? They have to go.
The quietness of a golf tournament, and one guy yells out.
Get the hole!
I know they're annoying, but I mean you've been hearing that forever.
If they were at Augusta National, you know where you don't hear that? Augusta National. Because if you did it, see ya. Privilege over.
Yeah.
See ya! That's where you don't hear it.
Or phones, or hey, put the phone down.
You can't take your phone into Augusta National. You got to leave it.
Kind of soft in golf now, aren't they? A little soft?
I'm a fan of golf, and I like to play golf, but I'm annoyed by the in the hole guy.
Are you?
Oh.
What was the other one, the new one that was out? There was a new one that we...
Mashed potatoes?
Oh, that one I hate. I hate mashed potato guy. They quit doing that. That's gone.
It's going to be rowdy at the Colonial this weekend, too. You know, Fort Worth's a pretty good
party.
Oh,
who they're going to get after? Brooksy!
Brooksy!
They're going to get after Brooksy up in Fort Worth, yes, of course.
You know, you just get a bouncer up there. You know, get some of those guys to cool the situation.
All Brooksy has to do is go over and talk to a few people. He's got a little chew in his mouth, and he's going, and he's smoothing down the runway there. Just go over every once in a while and give a little pound to somebody. I guarantee they'd leave you alone. But they are now going to be all over him. How's your knee? How do you play with a peg leg? How does that work? How does a golfer play? It's just, they're going to be on this dude, E. It's almost like he's starting to ask for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, look, I understand hecklers and crowds. But at the same time, in golf, not a fan of the... Because this guy says you put yourself out there just like musicians. You kind of have to deal with the noise.
Baba booey!
But it's it's golf, man. It's the gentleman's game. There's got to be come on.
Hey,
It's all annoying as an observer.
I know I'm not a professional, but, dude, you can go ahead and do anything you want except for stand behind the flag when I'm putting. Like, right behind the flag. You know, dude that, you know...
Come on, Brooksy!
You know, Duck Boat Paul, who stands when you're getting ready to try to make a putt. There's Duck Boat Paul standing exactly behind the flag, trying to see the line, and you're putting at the flag. Hey, Duck Boater, can you move your ass over 5 or 6 yards away from the flag?
Other than that, you're good. Talking in your backswing.
No funny farts during swings. You can talk during the swing, no farting, and no standing directly behind the flag.
Okay.
Duck Boater.
Good rule. Let's hear Brooks again. Here's Brooks' heckler.
All right, Brooksy.
Hey, Brooksy.
Hey,
Brooksy.
Hey, who's ever calling me Brooksy? Leave me alone.
Yeah, I love it.
Could you stop it, Brooks?
Baba booey.
And nobody hammered your knee going through the crowd. You walked to the green, and you were strutting like, I mean, you were peacocking straight across the green. You weren't limping, holding your leg when you came to the throne there. You were just kind of, he was just like, and then he said, "Oh, guys are jamming at my knee. You don't know what it's like to have your knee hurt like that."
Well, I will give him this.
You're not playing football.
Who was the lady? The lady commentator walking with them on their round. There was
Let me say this. By the way, you know who should have been known about pelts was Dottie Pepper.
That was her.
Yeah,
so
hey, Dottie
Pepper.
How come you're not telling us about pelts?
Well, I'll say
pelts?
To you saying Brooks didn't get his knee knocked. Like at some point, Jim Nantz said, "Hey, where's Brooks?" Because Phil's standing on the corn green by himself, and Dottie Pepper pimes in. Go find the audio where she says, "We're coming," and you could hear her getting bumped around. They're bumping her microphone. They're knocking them all over the place because they're trying to get their spot to be able to see Phil make the putt.
Yeah,
so I do think that would attribute.
Yeah, I think Dottie should have known about the pelts thing. She's got the ear. She's right there. And she heard it probably 18 times and didn't give us anything.
Dottie Pepper should have delivered more on that. Yeah. I agree with you. Our friend Dave Pels. There's the more golf. Is Brooks playing? Is Brooksy? Is he playing in the Colonial this weekend? I'll have to look at the leaderboard, or at least the pairing.
Oh, so here. This is when he was doing his practice round.
Yeah, the Brooksy was at a practice round at PGA at Kiowa.
Oh, okay.
Which you could see, hey, get out of here, knucklehead.
He looks pretty good to me.
All right, Brooksy.
And I'm pretty
Baba Booey. I hate all of those, really, to tell the truth. Baba Booey, get in the hole. That one will never go away. Get in a hole will never leave golf, ever.
Well, and I saw somebody yell at Jordan Spieth. He was sitting out of a bunker in the fairway. Get in the hole! It's like, dude, 200 yards from the green.
It's not going to get in a hole.
It's not going in the hole. Are you kidding me? All right, we will have more fun with that. So Mac Brown, ESPN wrote an article about the ails and the issues of the transfer portal in college football, which is the new way of the world in college athletics. And Mac Brown said in this article, quoted, that his concern is that players will be tampering. That players, like he cites this example, says you play a team and now you don't go shake the head coach's hand on the other side. Instead, you go straight to the great young tight end who maybe is not starting right now. And you say, hey, look, you look great. Man, oh, we should have recruited you. Wish you were here. Well, and as Brown adds, well, now he can be. That he's worried that tampering will become a big issue. He thinks some schools are going to form recruiting boards to evaluate potential transfers, which they're going to, of course, and called and says that he thinks coaches were going to be calling high school coaches and personal trainers to try to, you know, go through intermediaries to let players know that, hey, we might be interested if the player was not happy where he's at, and you know that's going to happen.
Sure.
It's going to happen.
It's not like it's never happened before, but...
You don't think Mac will be doing it? I mean, I think they're all going to have to be doing that. I mean, that's... I mean, look, I mean, here's where we are.
I just
are.
Like Nick Saban and his way of dealing with that.
Yeah, we'll play that Nick Saban sound.
I mean, that's just pretty simple,
but everyone's going to have to, and you have to understand it's just the way of the world now. There used to be, when you were coaching, and gosh, forever, there was one way to acquire talent to your roster, and that was recruiting, right? Either you recruited high school players or junior college players, and... It was very few and far between beyond that to be able to acquire and talent acquisition. That's, you know, in the NFL, there's the draft and there's free agency and trades. Those are the three ways to acquire talent. And then you can sign free agents anytime. But to acquire players, that's how you, those are your windows to do it. What the transfer portal is a new way to acquire talent immediately. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't used to happen. So, you know, what are the causes and effects of that? What are the ripple effects? As you said, you think. And I think you're spot on that high school football recruiting is going to change.
Yes.
That there won't be as many spots on rosters for high school players.
Yeah, if you're not a five-star
or a four-star. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, a team like Texas that in the past would load up on 25 four- and five-star players. Certainly Alabama gets all their five-stars.
Yes.
Are you going to shift that and take 15 four- and five-star players and take 10 transfers? Because you can fill.
Well, if you look at the rosters, every time you talk to a coach, we're leaving 12 spaces over, 15 spaces over for portal guys. We are.
Well, I don't know how to predict how it's all going to play out. I think we could all have an opinion, but I agree with you. That kid who's a three-star type player, maybe low four-star, who in the past would have been recruited by Texas or
absolutely
top-end schools are now not going to be. They're going to be, you know what, that's a project. If I'd rather take a kid who's already played a year or 2 years of college football and use that scholarship.
I've got film on him.
And I've seen him playing against college kids. I like his potential. We recruited him coming out of high school, and we really like what we see of him now. You know, it's very similar to the NFL, Buck. You know, when they do the extensive scouting reports of all the draft picks, right, when they go to the combine and they build these binders on each player, I mean, you got to know that's about the draft, but you only have 7 picks in a draft.
Right.
That's about the draft, and that's about 4 or 5 years from now when you maybe want to sign that player as a free agent. You've done your due diligence. You know the kid, the player. You know his personality. You know who he is, strengths, weaknesses. You can go back and do that. Well, I think college coaches are going to be in the same boat. You're going to have to remember a kid from recruiting that maybe went somewhere else that you can double back in and say, hey, I can see it's not working out there. Let's talk again.
It's two-way street. The kids are going to have to jump at some scholarships they may not have jumped at before, too.
Yeah, and it might push a three-star kid to, you know, does it disperse the talent across the Power 5 more?
It could.
The high school talent, that is, does it, you know, because as you said, our buddy Jake Spavital down at Texas State, is, you know, he's got the bigger schools cherry-picking his players.
Now they're coming after him.
Now he's trying to pick their bottom of the roster. He's trying to get in there and get some of those guys that maybe are really talented but maybe stuck on the depth chart somewhere.
Yeah,
and
it's great for the Sun Belt to have all that the way they played last year, but uh-oh, when people start coming after your guys,
sure,
it's going to be different.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I mean, Texas State, as an example, would normally be built on, you know, players from the state of Texas, that 2A level, 2-star level,
correct,
maybe 3-star, but occasionally, that would go to Texas State. Well, now, you know, how does it all matriculate? How does it all filter out? And, you know, like Jake Spavital hasn't signed almost any high school players. He's reserved his scholar because he's got such a young team in the first place. He's looking for veteran players to come in and fill holes immediately on his roster. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, and teams like Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, some of the schools in the Fun Belt, now Power Fives are coming to them and going, you know what? I watched you on film this year. You're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You want to come with us?
I thought in that same article, I thought Luke Fickell had a great point where he talked about the challenge of making sure that you're building relationships with your entire roster. You can't just build relationships, good relationships with your starting players. You got to build relationships with the guys at the back end,
mm-hmm,
and make sure you know who they are, know all about them, make sure you know you and your assistants are building that relationship so they feel wanted, and that there's a place for them. And then, you know, the Longhorns' second opponent this year is Arkansas. Their head coach, Sam Pittman, took it a step further. He said, I think it's easy to say that someone tampered if you lose somebody, but in all honesty, we have to look at ourselves and internally and in our program and say, hey, have we put and done all the things, put things in place to build a relationship where he won't want to leave us?
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's good, right?
You didn't come here just for football. You came here for the school.
Yeah.
And the experience, did you not?
Yep. And that's something you talked about. You know, you first example, we talked with your former walk-on fullback, Jim Turner, who's now the offensive line coach at Texas State, and he talked about playing for you and your relationship-building prowess and skills that, you know, even as a walk-on fullback, you felt just as much a part of the running back room as the starting running back.
Now, you weren't going to get any more time. You weren't going to get any more carries, but, yeah, you were part of that whole group. You didn't want to go anywhere else. You felt like people cared about you. Plus, you wanted to get a good, nice degree from Boston College,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and have great relationships with your teammates and your coaches. And but again, it's a whole different group. Heck, we got a high school
player.
And
once again, they all think they're going to the NFL. They all think they're going.
We have a high school kid that's committed to Texas, 4-star running back, who's decided he's going to opt out of his senior year of high school, at least playing football for a senior year, and then he's going to plan on enrolling early at Texas. And then January, that's a whole new phase. But we'll get you that, and we will play this Nick Saban audio of him talking about players and young people and the illusion of choices.
Yes.
The illusion of choices. Nick Saban waxes poetic next.
For the love of money, instrumental.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Interesting comments on the Specs text line. Always appreciate them on the show of the people. Our thoughts, your thoughts. Somebody talking about the transfer portal says, guys, same thing happens in academics. The top students from UTSA transfer into Austin, and the bottom students from Austin go back the other way. And that is true. Kind of the same thing if, you know, you can go to UT San Antonio, UT Arlington, and if you didn't get into UT the first time out of high school,
right,
you can qualify and get your way in because you achieved. If you're not achieving in Austin, you may find yourself at UTSA going back the other way. That's true, and I think we'll see a very similar thing in football and in sports with the transfer portal. This says, this one from Tom Herman apparently says, relationships start with an unsolicited kiss on the cheek and then a headbutt.
There you go, great.
Here is Nick Saban talking about players, young people. This could apply to a lot of different things, but it certainly applies to the transfer portal. But you know, I love this, the illusion of choices for young people.
You know, these guys sort of don't, they all think they have this illusion of choice. Like, I can do whatever I want to do. And we kind of have a younger generation now that doesn't always get told no. They don't always get told this is exactly how you need to do it. So they have this illusion that they have all these choices. But the fact of the matter is if you want to be good, you really don't have a lot of choices because it takes what it takes. You have to do what you have to do to be successful. So you have to make the choices and decisions to have the discipline and the focus to the process of what you need to do to accomplish your goals. And all these guys that think they have a lot of choices are really, you know, sort of sadly mistaken. And I think, as we all have done with our own children, they learn these lessons of life as they get older. And sometimes the best way to learn is from the mistakes that you make, even though we all hate to see them have to make them. And we don't really condone it when they do.
Well said.
Yeah,
as usual,
interesting.
With Coach Saban, that, here's the roadmap to being really good, guys. Here's the roadmap to great, right?
And Nick, it's not Saban jumping and skipping and moving and doing, yes, all that stuff. There's hard work that comes in there.
Yeah.
But you also have to be able to reset your goals. You can't spend time having these great achievements and you don't know how to get, you keep going, well, it's my third year at this. Well, it's my sixth year at that. You then have to reset your goals. And I think that's the same with these, with some of these young people. I agree with them in some ways, but I agree that you have to reevaluate your goals and then you have to move on. If it doesn't happen, well, there are times to move on.
And that's why I'm open-minded to the transfer portal. I know a lot of people hate it, think it's the ruin of college athletics. I'm of the opinion that Nick Saban knows good and well that there are guys that get to Alabama and are doing all the right things.
And they're still not going to be the first guy.
And they're never going to play.
Right.
So their opportunity to move elsewhere is okay. Now,
yes,
the guy that just can't make up his mind.
Trying to get to three different places?
Yeah, Tate Martells of the world that are
right,
going to bounce and bounce and bounce. Well, that's just bad judgment, and that's just an immature issue. But, yeah, at the big programs, there's just, I mean, you get there and realize, damn,
I really was pretty good, but I'm not good enough.
I'm the
right
hardest
now.
Damn worker here, but I'm not that good. But I can still play somewhere else. And this allows them to move and without punishment.
Reevaluate your goals.
Yeah, well said. As usual by you, too. All right, so NBA tonight, we have a triple header. If you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, Mavericks Clippers is relegated to NBA TV tonight for the triple header. NBA TV is where you're going to find the Clippers.
What time is that? Real
9:30.
Yeah.
At L.A.
I'm probably going to be out.
Zay, what'd you take from game one? Mavericks, Luka Doncic was the best player on the floor, outplayed Kawhi and Paul George. That's fair to say. Can they steal two in a row?
I think they can, because at the end of the day, coaching matters, fellas. And Rick Carlisle outcoached the hell out of Tyronn Lue. It was bad. And if the Lakers throw out that same philosophy, then the Clippers. Then, yeah, the Mavs could definitely steal this game again.
Boy, that would be huge. Because remember, it was the Clippers who kind of tanked their way into the four seed to draw the Mavericks and to stay out of the Lakers' side of the bracket in the Western Conference. That would be some just desserts to cough up. They've already coughed up home court advantage with the loss in game one. That'll be the late game tonight. We'll be talking about it bright and early, or dark and early tomorrow morning. Also, Lakers-Suns, 9 o'clock tonight in Phoenix. LeBron James.
Brooksy!
We'll see if CP3 is able to go tonight with that shoulder, how healthy he'll be. Also, 6:30 tonight, Celtics-Nets, game two. Nets up 1-0. Brooksy!
I love that.
Hey, Brooksy!
Come on, hecklers. Right. Stop it.
Hey, Buck, have a good Tuesday. Get a nap today. You stayed up too late while in poker last night.
I feel good. I got to rock and roll.
You say you're so tired. You're so tired you're not tired.
No, I'm so tired I'm not tired.
Got your little nap last night after losing a bunch of money at poker. Go get it back today. Zay, outstanding as always. And thanks for being honest about your grudge with your father.
Yeah, that's
Coach
terrible.
Coach CeCe over at Bowie.
Yeah.
We know this about Zay after he's been our producer for a while now. He holds grudges.
A long time. Very long.
They simmer.
You better get over that.
Yeah. Jordan Clarkson is a name.
I should be winning Sixth Man of the Year, fellas.
The illusion of choice, Zay. The illusion of choice.
Oh, boy.
I love it. Hey, have a wonderful Tuesday. Light the Tower is next. Craig and Jeff take you to noon. Noon, it's Shirts and Skins, RBKD this afternoon. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll hear you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.